Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, guys. It's the second of three. We just finished Pittsburgh, the Doc Talk podcast, hosted by Greg Roscoe. He had a Pennsylvania representative on, Michael Armaneni. And now we land into Oakland, California, Sports Talk Saturdays, hosted by yours truly, Bruce Kessinger in Oakland. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, and Scott Morgenroth outside the Joe Robbie Stadium in Miami, Florida, getting ready for the Hurricanes. So we've got it all covered across the board, 347-205-9631. Catch the archive. We're going 45 today. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay the groundwork down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Bruce, I'll give it over to you, then I'll get it over to Scott. I'll get out for about 20-something minutes, come back in and banter with you guys as I man the board. But how can everybody get a hold of you, and how you doing today, my friend?
Well, I'm just caught the ball going across the middle, anticipating getting hit. And after I pass concussion protocol, you all can reach me at holyroller91978@gmail.com or on Facebook. Scott, your stats.
Oh, well, my stats are plenty. You know, folks, I don't give Timex a whole lot of endorsements, but if you've heard of the Timex watch, takes a licking, keeps on ticking. I take a licking, keep on talking. So there you go. With that said, you can reach us at www.southfloridatribune.com. Also follow us on Twitter at Tribune South. And more importantly, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. We have a lot of good stuff on there with Mark Mancini and everybody else, and looking forward to building up. Hope everybody can get the visual version of what Bruce is eventually going to do and what we're already doing now. And, yes, I'm outside of Joe Robbie Stadium for a game between the Miami Hurricanes and the Bethune-Cookman. So I'll be looking forward to a good afternoon of football here in Southern Florida.
Well, as I get over to you, Bruce, take it away as he's out there. I'll man the boards, and I'll be back in 20 minutes.
Indeed. Thank you, Mark. Well, we have a lot of wacky things going on out here, I think in the sports world in general. With baseball, let's see, we have, for the first time, our rather calm shortstop, Brandon Crawford, got thrown out of a game. I can't remember that ever happening in his career with the Giants, but I think it's all about the frustration of losing. And the A's usually are going downhill, and what can I say? The only thing normal around here is the Warriors. How's it going out there on your end, Scott?
Well, things are going to get busy now. They really are. The Marlins obviously are struggling a little bit. You know, I kind of expected it at this time of the year. Offense has been our Achilles heel. We've lost like 28, 29 one-run games. If you take away some of those, we're back in contention. And now everybody's excited about the Miami Hurricanes, as they should be, with Mario Cristobal taking over. He used to coach at FIU, and Tyler Van Dyke, one of the big pro prospects out there, is going to be on display. I actually think what we're looking at, Bruce, and when Mark comes back on, that today will be a glorified scrimmage against Bethune-Cookman. I was at a game a few years ago when the Canes put up a 70 spot in Savannah State. I expect Tyler Van Dyke to get some reps, and I think there'll be another quarterback or two, depending on how competitive this football game is. But you never know. It's still an opportunity. You know, you build up all the hype going into this thing. We know Cristobal came here to Miami from the University of Oregon. Prior to that, he worked with Nick Saban and did some good things at FIU. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing the Hurricanes play a football game against another team, watching them in practice and all that. You know, hopefully a really, really good season, and I'm very confident we'll have it.
Great. Well, here I'm looking at college and I'm already thinking ahead about the Pac-12 becoming the Pac-10, and in Cal and Stanford, I don't see doing anything this year. So I'm going to have to be looking more at college elsewhere and getting ready for it, as well as the pro football season. Here, the interesting thing in pro football is we have Jimmy Garoppolo readjusting his contract, and I kind of, to everybody's surprise, because they've been saying so many things about him being gone and it's now Trey Lance's team. He readjusted his contract. He is going to be the backup here. I think it was done between John Lynch and Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think that Coach Shanahan even knew what was going on until it happened. I'm sure he's pleasantly surprised. And you got to wonder how Trey Lance is feeling about this, because that's not really a vote of confidence. I think it's the right thing to do for the Niners because they're supposed to contend. And if he does have his troubles, you do have a seasoned veteran. So a very interesting move, but one that was completely unexpected. I do expect the Niners to go pretty far if things work out. I mean, they're making the moves. They have the weapons, and I think it's going to be a good season for them. And AFC West, that's a very loaded division. It's all going to be about who the best quarterback is in that division. They got four good ones. And I see an exciting pro season going on. What about your East Coast guys, your Dolphins?
Well, let me make a couple comments on two topics that you talked about. Number one is Jimmy Garoppolo is a good first-class insurance policy in the event that Lance is ineffective. Number two, Calen Stanford, I think, will eventually be headed to the Big Ten in a matter of a couple of years to join UCLA and USC. And I'll even go out a little further, believing that Oregon and Washington will be as well. So you have a West Coast Big Ten where the travel isn't so taxing. So to me, I think it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when those schools move over to the Big Ten, and then the Pac-12, as we know it now, will be in really big trouble. But again, for the 49ers standpoint, I think it was a good move by them to keep Jimmy Garoppolo around for another year. And, you know, let's face the reality, Trey Lance has not played a lot of games, so why would you go ahead and hand over everything to a mobile quarterback who hasn't seen a lot of reps? As for what's going on here on the East Coast, well, everybody knows about the Miami Dolphins, that Tua was named captain of the team. So, you know, there's a lot of hype going into him. He has an offensive-minded coach and Mike McDaniel, which you guys are all too familiar with out there anyway. So we'll see if Mike McDaniel's offensive ways will rub off on Tua. Of course, Tyreek Hill there, and they have Raheem Mostert. So there'll be a pretty interesting dynamic to see how the Dolphins, they look good on paper. But when you're talking about on the East Coast, okay, I won't really bet against the Buffalo Bills, but I think they're going to drop off significantly because they haven't even figured out what their offensive coordinator looks like. With Joe, I won't know how to judge an offense. And Matt, I'm in that Patricia. So, you know, in terms of the team that I'm really loyal to, the Lions, I know that they should have a pretty interesting year as well. Jared Goff, and then they have Nate Sudfeld, who you're familiar with in San Francisco as their backup. They dumped Tim Boyle as well as David Blau. I thought neither of those two were any good. So anything you could have done to get rid of those two guys was important. So, you know, I mean, again, a lot of people are looking forward to what's going on here in South Florida. And let me also put a shout out to Bruce and Mark, okay, to Florida Atlantic University. We saw them roll over Charlotte last week, and Willie Taggart just celebrated a birthday. A lot of people are familiar with Willie Taggart on the West Coast. He built University of South Florida into a good program and did pretty well over at Oregon. And then, obviously, everybody struggles these days at Florida State. So hopefully Willie Taggart will be able to continue to build the program to his identity in Boca Raton. I really do. The only thing that's hard to see games at Boca Raton is I wish the fan interest was a little bit more. But, you know, again, it's still a good program. It's just a lot of people don't know about it. But the main kahuna here is the Miami Hurricanes for sure. And I'm excited about the Canes. I really am. And I should point out that I covered the Miami Hurricanes back in the 80s when Howard Schnellenberger was here and they were playing at the Orange Bowl. So I'm really happy to be back with the Canes. It's the first college football team that I ever covered myself. So I feel like this year for me, it's a homecoming to be back with the U.
Well, good for you on that one. Welcome back to Joe Robbie. I hadn't heard that stadium name in quite some time. Now, on the Lions.
Well, let me tell you, Bruce. I've watched two Super Bowls before in person at this stadium. So if I were to sit here and tell people it's the greatest stadium I've ever been in, you know what, I've been in probably thousands of stadiums. This one will always be number one in my eyes because when you cover the event ever, your first one and another one thereafter, I can easily justify being partial for this venue.
Okay. On your Lions, I kind of think that's an interesting story there. I think they're going to improve. It sounds to me like the players really like Dan Campbell. I like the tight end there, Hawkinson. DeAndre Swift seems like a pretty good back. You drafted a monster there, Hutchinson. What's your outlook on your home team there? I think they improved. They're certainly going to be better than the Bears this year. I think there's a slow climb here. I hope so. I've always sort of liked the Lions. I liked Greg Landry back in the day. What do you think about the Lions' chances this year?
Well, I love Barry Sanders covering them then. I think the Lions are a 7-9 win team. I really do. Probably 7-8, maybe 9 tops. It's a process. Everything will depend on Jared Goff and how he acclimates to the second year under Dan Campbell. That's number one. DJ Chark was a good. I think his name is. You know, you got targets. I don't care what anybody says. If a quarterback doesn't have sufficient targets, they're in trouble. They need DeAndre Swift to be big out there. And Aiden Hutchinson is a, you know, it was amazing, too. I was at the Jacksonville game last year against the Colts. And when the Jacksonville Jaguars got the number one pick, everybody thought Aiden Hutchinson was going to go there. But they decided to go with the Georgia kid, Trayvon Walker, and then Aiden Hutchinson followed him. But Aiden Hutchinson, to me, is a game changer on defense if he plays to his capabilities. He really is. The Lions have not had what I consider an impact defensive player since Ndamukong Suh a few years back, and he was as intimidating as you can get. But Aiden's a local kid. He's a Wolverine in and out, and it's good to be able to have a local guy who's an extreme. If he stays healthy and is tenacious, I think the Lions' defense will look considerably better. I'm rooting for Dan Campbell. I really, really am rooting for him. You know, and Brad Holmes is a pretty good general manager. He's the one that built the nucleus for the L.A. Rams. So, you know, I feel pretty good about it. I'm glad they at least won 3 games instead of went winless. They gave Dan Campbell a 6-year contract, Bruce. So when you give a guy a 6-year contract, that means you're going to give him the patience. Few people realize that Chris Spielman is in the front office as an advisor, and he's an iconic Lion. So, you know, it's all about culture change. You have to stay with a coach for a sustained period of time in order to make sure that there's, you know, some continuity with the head coach, the offensive coordinator. And Mark Brunell is actually the quarterback's coach there as well. So, you know, it'll be interesting. Again, the one thing I've always bothered me about teams is you got to invest into a good backup quarterback in case your number one goes down. You really, really do. And the Lions have not done that in recent years. When one goes down, there goes the season, and you're back in the lottery, as they say. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I wish them well, and I've worked with them for many, many years. And, again, like I've also worked with the Miami Dolphins, the Detroit Lions, and the Jacksonville Jaguars throughout my NFL career covering the team. So I always have a soft spot for every one of them, and it doesn't hurt that they're on the South Florida Tribune Media distribution list, and I promote their stuff as well as I can. So it's important to be able to go out there and do what you've got to do, and we'll see. It'll be interesting. You know what's good about this week? I'm glad there hasn't been any NFL games this week because I've been able to get up to speed on college. Wait till you see how I have to do on social media with the NFL and college bombarding me with content that I can share with a lot of my followers. Go ahead, Bruce.
Sounds overwhelming. I see the Dolphins finishing second. I think they got better personnel than the Patriots. Mac Jones didn't have that good a preseason. I'm kind of looking for it. So really on Tua, what do you think Tua's going to do this year?
Gosh, you know, I have mixed signals about Tua. You know, the guy's proven he can throw the 5 to 7 yard pass until he can stretch the football field, Bruce. I need more of an eye test. I really do. And to me, you want him to do well. And the reason why he has to do well is they pass on Justin Herbert and the Chargers nabbed him up. So he's always going to be judged, Bruce, based on, you know, we passed on this guy. You better hope he does well. And many years ago, they were hoping to tank for Tua, and he happened to fall into their lap anyhow. And we also have to understand that Tua has had injury problems. Now, I can tell you right now, it'll be interesting to see if he can stay on the football field and play 16 to 17 games. And that's why the backup quarterback position is every bit as important for the Dolphins. I know Teddy Bridgewater is their backup, but you hope you don't have to go to them. So I need to see more of Tua before I can drink the Tua Kool-Aid.
Okay. What other teams do you find are kind of interesting this year? One for me is the Saints, but and they're in Tampa's division, so that's a Florida team there. I mean, there's been all sorts of turmoil there with the Brady situation. But I think the Saints could have challenged them, but I think that they decided with the hiring of Dennis Allen, it was a mistake. I think Jameis Winston needs an offensive coach. I would have thought that they would. I would have liked to see them hire Eric Bieniemy. What's your opinion on that?
Well, number one, I want to go to the Tampa Bay Bucks. I think Tom Brady,
okay. You
know, I admire him for wanting to come back. I think him and his other half are probably, she didn't want him to do it. I can appreciate that. But Tom has that competitive spirit in him that he wants to, so I think they might be a little at odds. I'm sure they'll get it all figured out. I can understand her position because how many guys have gotten hurt to begin with, and you wonder if they played one year too many, and it could result in long-term injury. So I can understand a wife being protective toward her husband when they have a lot of money in their pocket. We'll see how the Bucs, he doesn't have as good of an offensive line. They have an exceptional defense. But do they have enough to go ahead and that division? I don't know. I mean, I like Jameis Winston. I hope he has a super year. Yes, could they have brought in an offensive coach? Eric Bieniemy was a hot name out there. They were looking for continuity there. So, again, the Saints are a question mark, but they have a lot of good offensive weapons in Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, I think Michael Thomas, and they've added a couple more receivers. And I should point out, though, getting back to the Dolphins, combination there, but back to the Saints a little bit. You just have to see. You have to hope and pray that they're running back and that they have a balanced attack to make it a very interesting two-team fight. I'm not so sure I'm really sold on the Atlanta Falcons. I'll be curious about Baker Mayfield getting a fresh start out in Carolina. Bear in mind that Matt Rhule is definitely on the hot seat. I don't think his seat has ever been hotter than it is now. The only thing hotter than his seat would be 119-degree temperatures you have in Arizona or the extreme humidity of southern Florida. But, you know, but Rhule's, you better get it figured out. That's the synopsis.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I'm wondering the Kamara situation, because he's going to need Kamara. Isn't he? Is there a trial date or something coming up on this? Has the NFL got doing something as far as any suspension, sort of like Watson?
Not that I know of yet.
I don't have
again,
my knowledge.
Not that I know of yet. I think Kamara's still in the fold. The NFL lately has been patient about getting all the facts straight before you start punishing a guy prematurely. Kamara will get his due vote when they get more information. And they had to move swiftly into Watson's situation because it was hanging over for a while. Kamara, again, there's a lot of he said versus she said. So I don't think that it's to the forefront of what they're looking, trying to get done. I really don't. So we'll see how it plays out. I'd like to see Mark Ingram go out there and have a nice season. You know, he's always been a good backfield mate of Alvin Kamara. You know, I never played fantasy football much, but I did play for about 2 or 3 years, and I participated in a family league, and I always like to have Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, and again, I don't play fantasy, so if you're looking for fantasy advice, you're not getting it from me. But it could be a pretty interesting 1-2 punch in the backfield because they need balance. The key is Jameis Winston has to stay healthy. He needs a rebound. Yeah. And I think maturity-wise, Sean Payton did a good thing by letting him sit behind Breeze for a while. And last year it was unfortunate he got hurt. But I expect Jameis Winston to have a good season to rebound. I really, really, really do.
I hope so, too. But he needed a more offensive-minded coach. On the Panthers, I always looked at the Panthers, especially after Newton left, that really it's how they go as Christian McCaffrey goes. And, you know, it's his health. His health is always the big issue here because he seems to be the thing that makes them go. Do you think Baker Mayfield is going to make it any better? Your opinion on that?
Again, if he can keep his mouth shut on social media, I'd have a whole lot more respect to don't air your dirty laundry where you'll lose respect to the locker room. Last year he played hurt, and the Browns let him go. Pete desperate because they're one of four teams that hasn't been to a Super Bowl anyways. And I think Baker Mayfield's going to enter the year with a chip on his shoulder. I really, really do.
And oh, yeah.
If you play with that shoulder, there's nothing more in life than having a chip on your shoulder and really trying to prove your dollars wrong so he can get a big contract. And you never know. He could be one of those guys in Carolina, which is not a big market anyways, when you have two or three major teams. You don't have an NHL team. You have a AAA baseball team, so you're really pretty much limited to the NBA and the NFL. I'm not worried about the hockey team 2.5 hours north of Raleigh. That has nothing to do with it. So Baker Mayfield can take that town, and he can put it on his back and really, really roll with it is what he can do. And as far as I'm concerned, it's his for the taking. So, you know, am I pushing for him? Sure, you know, he has an agenda, and we'll see how it all plays out. I don't know. But he has to keep his mouth shut, let us play, do the talking, and hopefully make his team a lot, lot better.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you on that. And by the way, a shout-out to the Houston Texans for their gestures toward the town of Ubalde there. From what I gather, they actually had a practice there, visit with the kids and all that. A shout-out to them for doing that. Let's see, another team, interesting. So the Browns, with Jacoby Brissett, who I noticed is a slightly under 500 quarterback, and he can't really throw the long ball. He's good for making the short pass and trying to make his receivers get the rest of the yards. I look at them as having two fairly lousy start, although they have good weapons on the team. I don't think he's the quarterback to get them to Watson, to get them toward the wild card or anything like that. Your opinion on that?
Well, you better hope that Jacoby Brissett can hold down the fort for 11 games, what you have to do. And again, their backup quarterback to me is a question mark. I'm glad that Jimmy Garoppolo elected to stay with the Browns. I don't think that would have been a good fit for him anyways. But Jacoby Brissett is capable. He really, really is. So I'll be curious to see whether he can stay upright on his feet and that you don't have to resort to a backup quarterback, because I think that this is going to be a lost season for the Browns. I'm glad you made that mention, the Texans. A year ago, Oxford had a shooting as well outside of Detroit, and the Lions did a lot of pretty good things for them as well. ESPN recently had a feature on the one-year anniversary of that, and they had a very inspiring football game out in Oxford. So, you know, I'm glad that a lot of these NFL teams are going ahead and backing their community. In fact, I'll go a step further. When Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, you know, in Parkland took place, you know, the Miami Dolphins stepped up to the plate, so to speak, and they definitely reached out to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. So it's good that these NFL teams are reaching out to their high school counterparts to show support toward them. I hate talking about these school shootings, because the problem is the more we talk about them, more of them are going to take place. But if we are forced to talk about them, at least we want to make sure that the NFL teams are stepping behind each and every one of these, supporting them any way, shape, or form. With you bringing up Houston, me bringing up Detroit, and then Marjorie Stoneman Douglas as well. So hats off to all the Texans, the Lions, and the Miami Dolphins.
And we'll even throw this old one out, and it wasn't even a shooting thing. I think it just sort of started with Jeff Fisher when he was with the St. Louis Rams after the racial incidents back in Ferguson, where he allowed the Ferguson high school team to practice on the Rams field there, St. Louis, and he did it without fanfare at all. I thought that was cool. That was sort of the beginning, I thought, for NFL teams doing nice gestures for communities. Getting back to the season here. So there's been a chuckle, especially in the gambling community, with Geno Smith starting for Seattle over Drew Locke against the Russell Wilson-led Broncos. What do you think about that?
Well, 5 years just means that the Baltimore Ravens has got a whole lot more tougher when it comes to actually.
So this is going to be very, very interesting. They really, really is. So
you know, Russell Wilson's won a Super Bowl, had a nice career with the Seattle Seahawks, and, you know, the Denver Broncos have struggled at that position. They really have. So they need stability under center, and I believe in my mind that this is a good way to do it. So Ravens, step up before this gets real, real, real expensive. It really is. And I got to tell you, Bruce, as I sit here talking to you in the parking lot, I am seeing so many tailgaters right outside of here, all these tailgating tents. There's a lot of calories on here. So if you have any sponsors that are looking for weight loss, you aren't going to find them here at Joe Robbie's. I mean, they're popping up around me like mushrooms, what they are. And after I get off here, I'm going to be going to pick up my credential in about 25 minutes or so, depending on where it's at. So it's pretty neat. I wish I could – I should take a picture of this and put it on our timeline on Facebook, and I'll share it with you. I like to share visual images with you and Mark, especially when I'm in locations. Different places. So stay tuned, folks. We'll go out there and put it out there. Where will the Motor City Madmouth be next? And we are coming to your venue is what we are doing here. And there's an awful lot of green and there's an awful lot of orange here at Joe Robbie, let me tell you. So, but as far as Russell Wilson, I don't even think the Broncos are going to win that division. I really don't.
I don't either.
With a new Packers, that's a great division. You got the Chargers. I'm not sure if I'm totally sold on them, although I know they have a good defense. But you got the Chargers. You got the Raiders who are improved. You got the Seahawks. And
nobody mentions KC anymore. There's four good quarterbacks in that division. Believe it or not, I think Carr is the weakest of the quarterbacks, but they're also
right.
Very loaded now. That Raider team has got lots of weapons. Hunter Renfro,
right.
Darren Waller, and, of course, Devontae Adams. They've improved on defense. I mean, to me, that one's going to – if they're going to go anywhere, it's got to be Carr because they've got all the weapons now, and they've got a new offensive coach. Chargers, I love Herbert. Keenan Allen, steady, underrated. They got Khalil Mack now. Of course, they still have Joey Bosa and Derwin James. It's going to be interesting because any of those four teams could win this. And I think one of the and another one's certainly going to make the wild card. Russell Wilson, interesting. I know Cortland Sutton. They traded Noah Fant, obviously, to get Russell Wilson. I don't know whether he has the weapons to do it this year.
Yeah, let me go over that. Raiders don't get into playoffs, even though you have Devontae Adams. I haven't seen enough of Derek Carr. Those two have to gel, and I have to see a lot more balance there. I would say the Broncos, maybe. The Chargers could get in, you know. So, and then, all right, so you got the Broncos could get in. The Chargers could get in. The Raiders I'm not totally sold on. And the Chiefs, I'm sold on them. I'm definitely sold
okay.
on them. I do believe in my mind that Andy Reid is the class of that division. He is. Patrick Mahomes may have lost Tyreek Hill, but I'll tell you right now, what they'll do is bring in other reinforcements. What's going to happen in Kansas City is that you're going to find that, and this is the same thing that will happen in Green Bay too. Mahomes and Rodgers are elite quarterbacks. They will make their receivers better. They will. So I think that the Chiefs are the class of that division. And I'll tell you right now, the Green Bay Packers are the class of the NFC North. Although I like Chris Berman, the NFC North, because he used to talk about hockey when the Red Wings were in the same division with a lot of the teams that are consistent as well. So the Red Wings used to be in the NFC North. So, again, I don't know how many hockey fans we have on here anyways, regardless. But the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers will be challenged. But they'll have to have Sammy Watkins to be healthy. They have Alan Lazard and that to go along with some of the
running backs
and the running backs as well. So, you know, it'll be interesting. Aaron Jones?
Tanya's a fairly good.
Yeah. So you have Aaron Jones and you have A.J. Dillon. So the Packers be more balanced. Sorry to interrupt you, Bruce. But and again, Chiefs, I think, and the Packers will be key.
Okay.
And Aaron Rodgers staying healthy.
I consider Minnesota a bit of a threat there. I think Justin Jefferson's kind of an unstoppable receiver. And this is only this is me, by the way, just kind of basing it a little bit on the fact that Rodgers doesn't have his main target. I think they're going to slip a little bit, and I don't know if Minnesota's going to improve that much to beat them. But I thought sort of think that they have a chance. You?
I disagree with you on Minnesota, and I'll tell you why. You have a new coach there, okay, Kirk Cousins. So I'm not sold on the Vikings by any stretch. I think, actually, in my opinion, Jim Harbaugh would have been a better hire than who they ended up landing with. So I think he would have, you know. But I think Minnesota, you know, again, I'm not buying the Vikings Kool-Aid. I think the Bears are going to finish last. So it'll be interesting between the 2 and 3 spot between the Lions and the Vikings. I know Kevin O'Connell is a good coach, an offensive-minded coach. They wanted to go in that direction. But I need to see a lot more is what I need to see for to be drinking the Vikings Kool-Aid. So it's okay for us to disagree.
But I'm not buying any of
that. And look at how many look at how many losses that the Lions lost by single digits last year, and they ended up beating the Vikings anyway. So they were pretty close in competition last year. They lost a last-second game on a field goal and ended up beating them in the regular season. So I think the Lions are and the Vikings are
also the most close to that. I really do. But you know what?
Interesting to see how the other dominoes drop between the Broncos, the Chargers, and the Raiders, but I still think Kansas City is the class of that division, regardless of Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's going to end up getting a dose of humble pie is what he's going to end up getting when he finds out that Tua isn't as good as Patrick Mahomes. He left there for the money. And by the way,
that's an understatement.
Tua, I need to see more of him. But everybody knew exactly what Patrick Mahomes had. So he got his ring, and something Dan Marino didn't get.
Okay.
But, you know, he, in my opinion, I just think that Tyreek Hill, I'm glad you're going to make your money, and Tua's going to make you have to earn it because you're going to have to take those short. I wouldn't be surprised to see him out of the slot. I really wouldn't. So, if you got Jalen Waddle, I don't know. I'm not drinking the Tua Kool-Aid yet.
All right. So we have a couple of fans out there who have decided to say hello to us. First off, we don't necessarily need to respond to this, but you probably should. Terry from Birmingham, Alabama says, "Forget Miami. Bama's taking another title." I think that that's kind of obvious. But we got an interesting take here, and we should comment on it. We have Bill from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, saying asking what our take is on Serena Williams. And a grand career, we wish her very well, at least I do. And I don't think she comes back. I know I saw there was a question. She said, "I don't think so," but like they all say, anything's open. I don't see her coming back, and I think, you know, it's a torch-passing thing, especially in the world of African-American tennis, where you've got Coco Gauff as an up-and-comer and Naomi Osaka as well. I think that Serena ended her career nicely, and I think she does whatever she's going to do from now on. I see her getting into the fashion world, and I wish her well. How about you there?
All right, you know what? I am going to comment on the Miami-Alabama dynamic. First of all, Nick Saban.
Okay, go start with that.
Yeah, why not? I don't shy down to anybody and never will until the day the man upstairs says, "I can't do this no more," and I don't see that anytime soon. I hope you hear that, Mancini. Okay, I appreciate the prayers, by the way. But number one, Nick Saban quietly worked his way out of Miami with the Dolphins when he couldn't get Drew Brees here and decided to go back to Alabama. So, yes. Yeah, so we can't forget that connection there. But meanwhile, it's Nick Saban that was kind of telling the Dolphins.
It's cool, but I'm going to let you hate me in South Florida, okay? And I know you do, but that was for Griffin, okay? But this is what you might have said, and that's just the way. It's so real, okay? And we'll see what happens about the Miami and Alabama convention. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't expect the Alabama
this year or next year, but I'll tell you what, one rule it down the road. You never know. But let's just, I'm focusing on what the Canes are doing first, and I'll deal with Alabama later. It's not going to be an easy thing. In terms of Serena Williams, what can I say? You know, to me, she arguably is one of the greatest tennis players of all time. Will I put her in the top five easily? Would I put her in the top two? That would be hard for me to do because I've been watching tennis my whole life. And for me to put her in the top five, I would have to say that Martina Navratilova wasn't great. Chris Everett wasn't great, okay? Steffi Graf wasn't great. But Serena Williams, to me, that she's been able to play for the better part of two, three decades, you certainly have to give the woman her consideration. And I think she elevated the African-American community by saying, you know what, African-Americans can play this game really well. To her credit, Venus did a great job. And Coco Gauff, I think, is the future. And heads off to Richard Williams. You know, you talk about fathers that get overly involved.
And someone else, with Lonzo Ball's dad, I don't want to mention his dad, you know, he's just on my very good way. The person can get over the way, but the Williams situation is kind of well. And whatever team the Williams is, guys, I wish him nothing but the best. There's nothing but good for the team of Dennis. There's nothing but good for guys' team. Most of this woman getting arrested and doing anything like that. It's going to be fantastic business for every 100 guys or having a family of their own. There's no crime in doing that either. There's nothing but class all the way.
Time 3 days, okay, especially during a time where the NFL hasn't kicked in, okay. And I think what was interesting that I, about John McEnroe that really is laughable is that earlier in the year, you know, there's no football going on here, blah, 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 okay, so at least we can enjoy this. No, Johnny Mac, okay, we know you made a living arguing with officials, but when the NFL was going on earlier in the week, it was cut down day, and a lot of men were losing their jobs, and there's an awful lot of NFL people following that, living daylights out of every single cut, so they have a fantasy team, betting and whatnot. So Johnny Mac, you're a great tennis player. You're an average announcer, in my opinion. You know, your sport is exactly what it is because it's probably outside of your majors. It's not really relevant beyond that anyways. And you're talking about a guy.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That interviewed Jimmy. You're talking about a guy like me that interviewed Jimmy Connors and Bjorn Borg back in the days.
Indeed. Looks like we're about to have Mark Mancini coming back in a second here. Why don't you finish up with what you were saying there?
Oh, that's okay. As I told you before, hey, I'm proud of Serena. I really am. More power to the woman. And I wish her nothing but the best. But, you know, I'll tell you, many years ago, who can argue with Chris Everett and the fact that tennis has an unbelievable tradition? You know, Arthur Ashe on the men's side, Bjorn Borg. I mean, you talk about a sport that has a wealth of tradition. And of course, Jimmy Connors was a heck of a player. John McEnroe played well. And all the rivalries that you had, John Newcomb. So it's a sport in tradition. But to see Serena Williams bow out in New York at the U.S. Open, you know, in the third round, isn't the worst thing in the world. She went out her way. And as I sit in front of a stadium that I've been to before, I was able to watch John Elway go out on top in Super Bowl 33 and win his last football game ever. And you talk about the theme of going out on top. It just, to me, doesn't get a whole lot better than this. So more power to her. So Alabama fans, I love you bringing on the insults or comparisons. I welcome them every single show. Really.
You know, Brianna coming back in, you guys handle it perfect. And, you know, just to talk about that, my favorite was Andy Roddick, but he was born in the wrong decade competing with Sampras and all those guys. But I really liked Roddick a lot. I had a chance to interview him.
Mark, now that you're back here, Mark, now that you're back, and I've been talking this over with friends, your Pittsburgh Steelers, as we know. I was going to sort of write them off kind of until, because your defense is always going to be good. I was going to write them off until I saw Kenny Pickett there in a couple of preseason games there. And I heard that Rudolph was on the trading block. My opinion here is I think that Trubisky is not going to make it through midseason, and I could see Kenny Pickett becoming the starter. What do you think about that?
Well, good take. 5 minutes left in this great show, and I broke it down on the Fire Up Michigan with Scott and Georgia on that. I think Mason Rudolph is going to end up in Detroit somewhere, sometime here in the near future. He won't be in Pittsburgh. It'll be Trubisky probably leading the charge in Cincinnati a week from tomorrow. And then we'll find out if he can hold the fourth down. And the first slippage of concern in Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett will drop the clipboard and get in there and play his Dan Marino talent there and try to resurrect this Steeler offense. But, no, I think Kenny Pickett is a great pick that they drafted, and I look at him like Mac Jones. Yeah.
Mark, you did break that down on our show, but now some of the information I'm getting out of Pittsburgh is that the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't really ready to let Mason Rudolph go yet. I think they'd like to keep three quarterbacks. So I know that, in my opinion, on that show, I totally agreed with you on that. But then the Lions picked up Nate Sudfeld, who I think what your comments were very logical, and they made a whole lot of sense. But I'm not so sure that the Steelers are ready to let Mason Rudolph go yet, Mark. I really don't. Now, I could be wrong a few weeks down the line. We'll see how it all plays out. But, you know, there's no crime in having three quarterbacks if you can afford to do it. That's the most important position. And as I mentioned earlier on the show here, that I don't think enough teams invest enough money in their second quarterback and potentially their third in the event that one goes down. My biggest concern with Green Bay, as long as Aaron Rodgers stays upright, you're fine. But the question is, will Jordan Love be able to pick up the slack? And that'll be the biggest concern I have in Green Bay. I really do. So, again, you know, Mark, we know full well that when you're monitoring transactions like you really, really do, they change always all the time, you know, and, you know, that's why we...
Well, I think as we wrap this thing up, I will tell you this, Scott and Bruce, I think you're going to find some surprises in Green Bay and in Los Angeles with the Rams. I think these teams are going to slip this year. I think Minnesota will take out that NFC North. And I think the Rams, if you're a betting man, and I'm going to throw it out there, I think the Bills beat this team in double digits come Thursday night because I don't think the Rams are ready to play football. Matthew Stafford's been out. They've been hiding his baseball freak injury there. So I look for the Bills to just have an onslaught. I think they're just going to blow the balloons out on the Rams party come Thursday night. Any final thought, Bruce? And then we'll give it over to Scott, and we'll wrap this great show up.
Wow. My final thought was that's kind of a stunning prediction. I'm not saying the Bills aren't going to win that game, but double digits, eh? You kind of caught me unawares there. I'll leave it with that. I can be reached, of course, at holyroller91978@gmail.com or Facebook. And I'll pass it over to you, Scott. You got me there, Mark.
Well, you know, Mark, I'm glad you brought that up. I still like Stafford and the Rams, but I think that's an ideal matchup between the Rams and the Bills, two premier quarterbacks, and I think the NFL got it right. Unfortunately, yours truly will be doing a couple of shows that night, so I'll have to go ahead and watch a game in between shows. So, yeah, I'm glad you bring that up. It's a pretty good, nice, timely one, and I'll certainly look forward to seeing that later on as well. But in terms of getting a hold of us, www.southfloridatribune.com gets it done on the website, at Tribune South on Twitter, and please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com, hit South Florida Tribune, hit the subscribe button, and you get to see us, you get to see and hear us as well. And Mark, since we have another minute or two, want to let our audience know that the Fire Up series is doing well. We're going to be running more and more episodes of Fire Up Wisconsin, Fire Up by itself, Fire Up Michigan, obviously, and Fire Up Florida. So it's healthy. And for a lot of you folks that go to our YouTube channel, we've done our fair share of streams on there, but there's a lot of mini episodes that are on a lot of these particular classifications as well. So those shows are very active in a lot of different ways. And, you know, we're going to continue to build it with the group of people and the team that I'm really assembling right now of experts and panelists that are going to complement the incredible team that we have. And, Mark, obviously, you're a big part of it. George Eichhorn's a big part of it and many, many others. And I also like to do a shout-out to Lou Landers as well, who does a sensational job on the 108 Stitches Baseball Talk. So I love coming here every Saturday. I like being able to broadcast from a different location or a different spot to keep it real and interested and let our viewers and followers know where is the Motor City Madmouth going to be doing the show the next time. As you mentioned politely, Marco, okay, I mean, beautiful homes. You, I guess it's only appropriate on NFL game. We all come into your city. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Maybe Bruce will see him on the Fountain Blue Hotel there in Miami next. As we wrap up this show for Bruce Kessinger in Oakland, Scott Morgan rocked with his wife in a parking lot at Joe Robbie. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in the studios in Los Angeles. We'll talk to you next week, regular scheduled time, won't be 45, it'll be an hour, 9 to 10 Pacific, 12 to 1 Eastern Standard Time. Till then, catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Have a safe Labor Day, everybody, and thanks for tuning in.